Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts every single day. AJ, Rudo, Evan coming to you live after the Avs blow it against the New York Islanders. Turn a 3-0 lead into a 5-4 loss. It was not a good third period by any stretch of the imagination. Felt like there are probably a lot of positives coming through this game in the first period and a half, two periods. And then it all fell apart, and everything is bad, and nothing is fun, and everyone hates the world. And that's what happened. So instead, let's talk about a pick of the week for DraftKings Sportsbook. Go ahead and go over there and pick either the Phillies or the Astros. I don't care who you pick. If you want to make AJ mad, pick the Phillies. If you want to make AJ feel normal.
DNVR is basically Team Susie and Team AJ. Yeah. Right now, Team AJ is just
AJ. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of friends on this one.
So go pick the Phillies, I guess, then.
Oh, damn.
To win the Stanley Cup to win the World Series. It's kind of like
you're
the Stanley
lose
Cup.
Wonder what those odds would be.
Pretty good odds on the Phillies winning the Stanley Cup. Anyway, do that over DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, and conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Of course, if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. All right, Evan, you said you'd do it. So
yeah,
60-second rundown.
Put it on the clock. Oh.
You have time to prepare yourself while Yahir finds the clock.
Okay. All right. 3, 2, 1. All right, first period, nothing happened, so I'm going to skip past that. Second period.
Accurate.
The Avs kind of got it going. The top line figured some things out. Rodriguez kind of fit in there. Georgiev made some big saves, including stretching out to hold things, I guess, hold them at bay while Rantanen came out of the box and scored a ridiculous goal. And then Rodriguez got another one. And then the third period happened. The Avs gave up a goal at the end of the second that kind of turned things there. Third period happened, and I don't know if the top line was just exhausted from playing pretty much the entire last two games. But they fell apart defensively. They were in shambles. Gave up three quick goals, an empty net goal, and then Newhook scored a pointless goal, but potentially not pointless goal.
We'll talk long about term. It. Yeah.
And the Avs kind of blew it, and now they head to Finland.
Well done. In the 60 seconds.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think you summed up the first period well. Just not a ton went on in that period. It almost felt like a continuation of the New Jersey game, a little bit more high octane. There was some events happening, but not a ton going on there, so we don't have to touch on that too much. But the second period felt genuinely like a good abs period for most of it. They were dangerous. They were converting opportunities. I guess let's start here. Are you guys focusing more on taking the positives out of this game, or are you focusing more on needing to fix the negatives?
Fix the negatives.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, it's hard to focus on the positives when the negatives are what happened in the most immediate past. So, probably more negative.
Recency bias confirmed.
Yeah.
I agree.
Had you swapped the games? Had you swapped last night and tonight?
Sure.
Same results and everything. But the way that they played,
yep.
I don't think you'd be so frustrated going into having a week off.
Yeah.
But having been up 3-0, you have a 3-1 lead going into the third period. Your goaltender is balling out
great.
For you.
Yep.
He's playing great. He gives up one he shouldn't for the game winner.
Sure.
But wow. You don't.
Well, it ended up not being the game winner, actually.
Oh, true. yeah, true enough. Somehow he still gets the L for that.
Yep. L for an empty net goal game winner.
Which is another good reason why goalies should not have wins and losses next to their name. Your goalie's playing great, and you don't do anything to. You get up 3-0,
and you just stop.
Yeah.
You just stop.
And like it was fine. Like they didn't really have a huge problem until that it got to 3-2.
Until the shift.
Because once it got to 3-2. The Avs actually pushed really, really hard for a few minutes. Don't score, and then...
It was like 90 seconds, yeah.
And then they just
turned the switch all the
rest,
way off.
The rest of the game was just all downhill.
Yep.
We'll talk about it, I'm sure, but this team is just... They live and die by their top players right now because the rest of the team is just not playing well and just they're playing over their heads.
They're not even... They're barely playing.
Yeah, that's the other
your
thing.
Your top players are playing half the game.
That's part of why they're living and dying by the top players because the rest of the team can't get on the ice. And, I mean, the second period, the top line gave them the lead. And then the third period, they gave it away.
Yep.
It's really that simple. And, you know, I think we're going to blame the top players a lot right now, but which they deserve. A good amount of blame for especially how two of them are at least playing.
Yep.
But it's all on them right now. And that's the reality of the situation.
Yeah. I mean, looking at positives here first, because that will go in the order that the game happened. Look, Avs get a power play goal with Erod in the middle. Encouraging place to start the game.
Yeah, and a different look.
Yep.
You know, it's not Erod with the one-timer on the wing. You know, it was a different look. He's in the top. He's on the top unit. He's in the middle of the ice. And we saw that the Islanders just did not respect that the Avs were going to make that play.
Yep.
And when they made it, they burned him.
Yep. And you watch Mikko pull off the play, be patient, execute just enough to slip the pass through the stick, and it's an amazing play.
It's like good quality hockey. Like they let that guy into the middle because they didn't respect that guy was going to do anything. And on a power play where you have Makar, McKinnon, Rantanen, and then Lehkonen and Evan Rodriguez,
option five, like, basically.
Evan Rodriguez is the fifth guy that you're worried about.
Yep. So, a quality job there. Evan described the second goal great. And look, if you're looking for a positive note, defensively, PK was good again. You got to at least feel positive there. They've shored up an issue that was a problem through the first six games of the season. Five games of the season, really, I guess. But last three games, PK has been pretty darn good on the whole. They get the goal out of Mikko coming out of the box. Benefit, cool. Mikko with a very, very nice shot. For the record,
he just makes it look so easy, and that's why you watch him and you're like, this is so frustrating at times.
Yeah, well, and I wanted to get this in there because we're going to rip Mikko Rantanen and we're going to rip Nathan McKinnon, but Mikko had a 2-point night, and McKinnon ends up getting an assist on the third goal, which is a tip in by Erod. So it's not like they did nothing.
It's just they didn't close out the game. They just completely collapsed in on themselves and played, certainly in McKinnon's case, genuinely terrible hockey for a large portion of the third period. So, needs to be better.
I would have benched Nathan McKinnon.
Yeah.
Personally. Because it wasn't even the shift where they give up the tying goal.
Yeah.
It was the shift the shift before that. We don't need the novel on screen. It screws everything
it's
up.
It's just too long.
Well, we can't see it.
Yep.
Honestly, like McKinnon, I mean, he isn't paying attention, and a puck gets away from him that should have been a clean zone exit.
Yep.
And it ends up in him cross-checking a guy who'd gotten behind him for a scoring chance. You know, who he does it out of desperation, and it never should have gotten there. And I would have, and that right there, I would have benched him then.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, you're up 3-2, and, like, you don't treat star players like that in the NHL. Like, mm-hmm. Teams just don't do that to their star players. But that is, you're talking about accountability, and Nathan McKinnon, that entire meltdown there, it was selfish.
Certainly.
It was all of it was selfish hockey. It was bad hockey. It was lazy hockey. And I would have benched Nathan McKinnon. We were sitting downstairs, and I said it.
He did.
And I said it before they gave up that tying goal where McKinnon and his line were brutal defensively and gave up the game's tying goal. I said I would have benched Nathan McKinnon right then.
And
to send that message and say, this can't happen.
Well,
you cannot be the guy that is leading the way and playing hockey like this.
And the conversation there, though, like,
it's unacceptable, man.
I agree with you. And you bring it up. Yeah, Nathan McKinnon's a star player. But if Martin Kaut did that, he'd never play in the NHL again with this team. Like, they would banish him so quickly.
We saw last year, do you guys remember Mikhail Maltsev?
Yep. Had that one awful game.
Has one turnover. Has a brutally bad, lazy turnover.
And that was it.
And then
he was gone.
He fails to get a puck in deep on a line change, and it cost them a goal. And he got cut.
Yep.
That night.
Before they got on the airplane.
Yep.
It happened that quickly that they pulled the ripcord on it. And you know what? You could say what you want about things like accountability, and it's easy to do to a guy like Mikhail Maltsev. It's easy to take a depth guy and hanging around his neck and say, you can't hurt the bottom of our lineup. But when it's your tip top guy like that, fuck that, man. He's got an A on the chest. He's been a part of the leadership group.
You just can't have it.
He sets such a huge tone for how this team, especially with no Gabe Landeskog around, he sets such a tone for them. You know, he's the big cheese. He's the big emotional presence that's there right now while Landy's not here. And for him to have been that bad, he should have been benched before he had the chance to go out there and be a part of the group that blew that game. He should have been benched.
Yep.
And it was they hadn't even finished blowing the lead, and it was unacceptable from him. And then it gets worse.
Yeah, it never got better either. That's one of my big concerns is after the Avs blow the lead, you're still getting pretty terrible play.
Yeah, and I mean your other bests, you know, Mikko Rantanen in a game where he started out really well, and then there were individual plays like the
insane pass to Taves near the end. Sure.
Exactly, like there were individual things, but there's
too many shifts where it isn't there.
Shift by shift, if you go
and
you watch Mikko Rantanen on shift by shift, and just watch that dude, you're just like, good Lord, like what are you doing? I mean, I'm joking around downstairs like, oh, mm-hmm. he's just trying to see how many points he can score without while limiting his amount of movement. But the guy has taken on such a mentality that he does not have to work hard to be successful in the NHL. Yeah,
you can't take it to the extreme.
The pendulum has swung so far from me thinking that this guy is going to be the next Jaromir Jagr, with him figuring out he can just overpower everybody. He could be the premier power forward in the NHL, to wondering if this guy's the next Alexei Kovalev, a supremely talented but unbelievably lazy player.
I mean, I think you're taking that too far of an extreme, too.
Well, where's the bottom? At what point does he get pulled aside and they have a conversation and say, grow the fuck up, man. Like, knock it off. You can't be successful playing hockey like this.
Yeah.
It's not like he was like this during their postseason. He was not this lazy. He got better as the postseason went on. And like there were some issues that Mikko had. There were some mitigating circumstances. He got really sick last spring.
Yep.
Lost a bunch of weight. And so there was something there that you could point to and say it might be really contributing to this. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's contributing to this right now other than the fact that he's just not being held accountable when he plays this really cute shit. And it's not, Mikko Rantanen is not solely responsible for tonight's meltdown. There isn't one player.
No.
We got comments that are like, how long can you guys do this with Martin Kaut? Like, Martin Kaut played 4 minutes tonight.
He didn't have the opportunity to be that bad. And he was not even close to the worst dude on that line because Curtis McDermott was there.
Well, and just like, I just don't. You could look at Mikko Rantanen. You could look at Nathan MacKinnon. You look at Cale Makar, and you look at all three of those guys, and you say, you're just not playing the way that you need to play.
And we'll look at some of these other guys too. But the reality is, the dudes you're putting on the ice for half of the game, mm-hmm. 30 minutes of the game.
Evan Rodriguez had 27 minutes of ice time.
If those dudes aren't getting it done, you can't expect the dudes behind them to get it done.
And, like, I don't even have a strong problem with Evan Rodriguez playing 27 minutes.
Me either. He was their best player.
He was one of their best guys out there tonight. But where's Arturi Lehkonen gone here? Yep. This is starting to get a little long. JT Compher makes a great pass to Andrew Cogliano.
And he just did nothing
just
finish
can't
on
finish it.
It.
Yeah. Because Andrew Cogliano just isn't that guy anymore.
Yep.
You're not expecting that guy to score very much for you. No. Like, you just, I think Evan said it best at the start of the pod. You're in a spot right now where you're only as good as your best players.
Yep.
Your depth is problematic. It's you know, you love that Newhook scored. You love that Erod gets a couple of goals, but Rodriguez scores, he gets elevated to that top line.
Yep.
So it's not even like, hey, your depth is getting going.
That's
like,
your first line scoring still.
Yeah. Ah, man, it's just so. We talked about that they were likely to start slow this year, but just like last year and just like the year before that, actually living through it is fucking frustrating.
It is.
It's frustrating,
like this,
man.
For sure.
Because you know that there's so much better for them to give.
I'm not sure how much you have to say on that, Evan. I'll let you go on it first.
I mean, we don't know if Bednar wants to bench MacKinnon after play like that, because he's like, I have no one else. Like, you just watch him throw those guys out there. We were sitting in the third period every other shift. Those guys are out there because he's like, I don't trust anybody else on this team. And that's a problem.
I want to get into that conversation, too. Not where I thought you're going with it, but we'll get there. We are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. God, if there's ever a hockey game that makes it feel like you might need a drink, it was probably that one. You can go to breckbrew.com to find it at your local liquor store. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to do that. And then you can go to Game Time. There's a link down in the description of the video to check out Game Time. When you go to that, you can find tickets to all sporting events across the country, but that includes, you know, locally here, the Avs, the Nuggets, the Broncos once they're back from London. And they have some of the best prices around, up to 60% off of other prices with Game Time. You can check them out. Go see whatever you want. When you use that link in the description, it helps us out a little bit too. So get the Game Time app today. Join over 15 million people who get their tickets through Game Time. Second period. Okay. Where do you guys place the blame-o-meter here on Bednar? How much of this is your top guys failing to get the job done, and how much of this is your top guys just running out of gas because they're getting used so heavily?
It's I mean, the bar for the top guys is just too high.
Yeah.
Where I can say it's, I can't not blame them, because there is definitely blame there, but.
For sure.
People in the chat are saying they got to change out the fourth line. It's like, what does it matter? Like, they're going to call up two other guys and play them 3 minutes.
The random dudes who play 4 minutes a night just have no impact on the game regardless.
Swap those three with whatever three guys that you want to pretend are going to make
the difference.
It's going
to be the same 4 minutes every night. Yeah.
I really don't see what you think is going to change. For me, I'm saying give them 8 minutes. Give them 9 minutes.
And if Bednar is in a world where he's giving them 8-9 minutes and they look like shit, then yeah, swap them out.
Yeah.
But they just, literally any warm body at the professional level of hockey can play 4 minutes and get away with it.
Mm-hmm. And what was amazing is that Curtis McDermott in that time tonight almost is responsible for a goal against.
Yeah.
And takes a penalty.
Actively ruins
in
what
that
should
time.
Have
An
been a good scoring
zone
chance.
Penalty.
Yeah.
At that, like... I'm not going to sit here and harp on Curtis McDermott. Everybody, right, like, people understand how we feel. He's not.
His existence is established as what it is. Unlike the top players,
who's
supposed to be the guys carrying the heavy load and are blowing games.
Yeah, like this is just the insistence on that dude, and I just don't get it. Yeah, Nichushkin probably should. He probably would have been good to go today. Bednar said he was feeling a lot better and probably could have played. But they were just going to give him the extra rest for Finland.
And the
As we said yesterday, it's just the logical thing to do.
The Avs are perfectly okay with living in this world of
sitting
guys that are injured. And if it means the Avs blow a game, it means the Avs blow a game. They're not going to lose their minds over this in that regard. However, I do think they're going to be very upset about the way that third period went.
Yeah.
What I want to say about this fourth line is, like, I don't know what Bednar wants from them, because
agreed.
I think Maltsev looks pretty good. Like, I've liked him. He's been responsible. Like, he's winning faceoffs.
He's engaged physically. Like what are you asking from him?
Yeah, what else do you want from him? If you just don't trust him, then I don't know what he can do. And I don't know where you go with that, because, I mean, Kaut is just pretty much invisible most of the game. But you put him on the penalty kill, like, you obviously have some sort of faith in him. I just don't. If they just don't have faith in their depth, then what were they doing this summer? Like, go find other guys, I guess. I don't know. It's just, it's very frustrating. That's what's so frustrating right now, is just like, they built this team and they don't trust the
unwillingness to use what
they
have. Right,
and like, you could get where a coach is like, look, I don't know what we're going to get out of Dryden Hunt. I don't know what we're going to get out of, you know.
He's on third line now.
But then you're also like, okay, you're familiar with Cogliano and Compher and LOC and Alex Newhook.
Yep.
And those guys aren't getting any kind of a minutes bump.
Yeah, you're playing Alex Newhook 11 minutes a night.
Right. Like, he has almost identical ice time as he did last year.
Yep.
And I'm not even sitting here saying he should get, like, I'm not even, like, specifically him, he should get way more, but just as a group.
But you just can't ride your top guys for 27 minutes a night night.
Well, in a back-to-back nights, like, part of the diminishing returns that they had tonight, you can definitely say is fatigue, because they did the exact same thing with their lineup last night, and it just seems like, it seems so foolhardy to me to think that it's going to have no impact.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That they'll just go out and do it. You know, you see the end of it, and maybe it's not laziness. Maybe it's fatigue.
Yep. It absolutely
could
be.
Especially from McKinnon in the third period.
And I'm sure it's some of both, right?
Because we almost never see it get that bad. Yep. I mean, he makes mistakes defensively. He's kind of always been that guy. But that bad, that level of a problem?
Yeah, it was.
It's a little shocking.
The shift that led to the game tying goal is, for this core, genuinely one of the worst shifts I've ever seen them have. Ever.
And to add to this, like, we're talking about, they've got problems at forward, and like, where's the depth? Where are the guys that they trust? Well, they did that because they said, we want a high-end defense.
Yep.
We want to go into the league. We want to go into the year with the best defense in the league. Well, when Cale Makar's not playing up to the level that you expect from him, Devon Toews does tonight.
Yep.
I thought Devon Toews was really good.
He was the only one.
But Sam Girard was awful tonight.
Yep.
Bowen Byram, not any
also
good.
Bad. Yeah.
And then you have Josh Manson and Eric Johnson. Why are they together, first of all?
I don't know.
We've watched 9 games of them not be able to function together.
We were watching them on the PK, like,
and it was a disaster.
this is why you're having tons of PK problems, is yep. because these two guys are not gelling. And then throwing them out there at 5v5 together?
Yep.
Like, dude.
And more so, it's like, some guys can play their offside on defense. Josh Manson is not a guy built for that. And we saw some mistakes in the first period that were ugly.
Yep.
And it was all to put Girard and Byram together, who were awful together. Like, truly awful. So,
like, their numbers before tonight together, those two, were really good. And so you're like, okay, you're now leaning into your best players. You're taking all balance away from your defense, and you're saying we've got one top pair, we've got a true second pair, and then we've got a third pair that we overplay.
Yep.
And that's exactly what they did. And then it just didn't go well tonight. Yep. And tonight was a night where none of them played well, so it's not like, mm-hmm. well, break them up and put these, like, this guy's not going and this guy's not going.
It was just,
like,
all bad. It was Devon Taves and all bad.
Wow, that's crazy.
And
that's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so they had it at, they called it on the field, a 2-run home run to make it 5-3.
Are they saying it's foul now?
Yeah, and they're saying that it's foul. They called it back.
How?
Well, that's where replay started in baseball.
I know, but
I just, that's crazy. I don't think I've ever seen that in a World Series. Anyway, in any case.
Bednar's so, like, he likes guys on their strong side too. So to move, I mean, even if you like those guys together and you want to ride that momentum of them playing well, like, that's not something he would normally do, to move two guys to their offside. Especially since I don't even know if Girard's done it quite a bit, but I don't know if Manson's ever done it.
Yeah, I mean, Girard on the right side is something that we've seen in Girard's entire tenure in Colorado.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Well, oh my God, dude, if Sam Girard gets another puck and goes to his backhand,
rips it up the boards
to
nobody,
floats it up the boards to nobody.
Yep.
Good God, dude. Mm-hmm. Stop.
And it
take a breath, figure out what you want to do, and if that's the best play that you have, reconsider your station in life. My God.
And it's just brutal too.
It was so hard to watch.
He almost hit it again.
Yeah, he did. Right at the wall.
Yep. With Sam tonight, it was tough too.
Wow.
Because you saw on the Parise goal, you saw Sam's limitations physically. Parise got 5-6 whacks at that thing because Sam couldn't move him.
Well, and Sam just kind of stood there.
Yeah, right. Like, you would expect Sam to get into a stick battle or tie him up something.
Like, he's one of the reasons that he's so effective is because he's really crafty.
Yep.
Being effective in areas that he's not supposed to be good at. Mm-hmm. Standing in front and defending in front of his own net, it's not a physical battle for him. It's a battle of wits.
Yep.
It's, you know, he's got to find a way to be effective with the stick and with the positioning. And he didn't do anything, dude. He just stood there and watched Zach Parise just slap at his goalie. part of it was just like, what the hell, dude?
Yeah.
And then they were out there again for the third goal.
Yeah, and they had the 8-minute long shift where,
yeah.
I mean, you literally couldn't count the number of errors on that shift from the ads. There were...
I might go back and try. Maybe that's what we'll do in the amazing days off that we have now.
Break down one terrible shift.
Yeah, be like the worst shift you've ever seen.
Yep.
At one point, like, Mikko was in the middle of the ice and he was just, like, stumbling backwards to around nobody.
Well, and he went to put a body on whoever it was in front and he was, like, leaning on him. Using it was like an armrest where he just looked like he was, like, are you trying to take a breather here?
Drunk guy trying not to fall over at
the bar. What's happening right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I genuinely, how many clearing attempts did the Avs just totally flub on that shift alone?
Well, and then, like, you lose every foot race.
Yep.
Every foot race.
Yep.
To 50-50 pucks. They just get to.
And by the end of it, it's like they're not even trying.
Yeah. They're totally spent.
I get that, but.
And you're just like, please, Georgiev.
Yeah.
Like, you're hoping a puck needs to go up into the glass. Yep. Like, yep. They need to do something, man. Even an icing would have been a step up from where they were.
Yep.
I think we all did not like that fourth goal by the Islanders.
Yeah, it beats them on the short side.
But if you look at that shift before, I think the Islanders had at least 10 shot attempts.
You're right.
He's probably exhausted, and that's kind of, I don't know. Like,
well, and maybe give the guy a breather. Like, this is another question where you can ask for Bednar, where you say, hey.
Call a timeout.
Call a timeout after that. The Islanders called a timeout after their third goal.
Yep.
Maybe you should call a timeout after the third goal.
Yep.
A long shift like that, give your goalie a bit of a, okay, hey, I'm resetting. But Bednar has never used his timeouts like that. His timeout usage is the thing that I have criticized
for a long
his
long
entire
time.
Tenure.
And
and a lot of it is like really hindsighty. Like right now, I know what happens next. At the time of the third goal, it didn't even occur to me to take a timeout. But maybe, right?
Well, and look. Yes, you'd love a better save from Georgiev on the fourth goal. You'd also love your best defenseman to not just fall over and be mad about not getting a call.
Yeah, I can see where he's coming from because the stick is on his foot.
I can see where he's coming
and
from,
I can get that, but it also just feels like things aren't going my way.
Yeah.
And we just watched what we were really trying
to do. You manifested that yourself.
Yeah. It really was not an obvious call that for me that I did not think it was a call live.
Especially the way this game was getting called. Like
I didn't think it was really a call.
I bet.
You know, on replay, like I didn't.
If the Avs are up 3-1, he's probably not fighting that call too much.
Yeah.
It's more that he tried to make a move at the blue line. It did not go well at all, and they scored to take the lead. It was a frustration thing.
And you end up in this situation where it's like the Avs are upset and talking to the referees in a game where they've blown a lead, and then they really don't have much of a push to even try and get back into the game. No. It's 4-3, and they spend a handful of minutes getting dominated by the Islanders, to be honest.
Yeah.
And then they finally get down to goalie pull time, and they push a little bit, and obviously they don't score the goal, but
when they were talking on the broadcast, one thing they got going from, they're mad. Yeah, it's like, well, they gave up 4 goals. They should be mad. And playing mad's not always
doesn't work
the best
for everybody. Yeah.
Well, we saw immediately after the fourth goal, Makar, like you thought like, oh my God, he really is upset. And yep. He goes down and he dekes the dude at the blue line and gets past him. And he goes flying around the net, and you're like, oh, dude, are we about to see some shit?
And then
the puck just dribbles off his stick, which has happened over and over and over and over.
A lot this year so far, yep. So, I don't know. It's I am way more frustrated with this hockey game than the Devils game.
The Devils game was just a giant nothing burger.
Exactly. It was just a horrible game all the way around. This was a game where the Avs had stretches where they looked good. And then just
the reality of it is that they had a 3-0 lead halfway through the game.
That's a game you win. You have to win those games. You just have to.
You have to close that,
especially considering how much you're paying your defense and those guys.
Yep, it just has to be better. We are brought to you by Avoca TV. If you haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, the Serbia documentary from the DNVR Nuggets just hit that. So go check that out. It's a super dope look into basketball in Serbia and all of that. I highly recommend if you can get in on it and watch the background of where Jokic came from. So check them out. You can get Avoca TV today for just $25 a month at avoca.tv/DNVR. Check it out. Get in there. Get it. Super easy. It's got altitude if you want to watch Avs games. It's got AT&T Sportsnet. If you want the Rockies, it's got national channels for football. So it's got you fully covered for Colorado sports. We're also brought to you by the American Raptors. You can go down to Infinity Park at Glendale to watch some of the best rugby in the country at the men's and women's 15 teams. And you also have the Raptors, who are playing in league rugby. They brought in a bunch of players from a ton of different sports that you can go check out and play for completely free. Tickets are $0. So go check that out again at AmericanRaptors.com to get your tickets. You can also watch the streaming there too. And be sure to follow the DNVR Rugby account on Twitter. Colton Strickler always keeping you updated with everything going on in the rugby world. And he's got 101 pods if you're new. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Here's
How important is the Alex Newhook goal?
We can go there.
Yeah, I figure this is like the last big bullet point that I have in my brain from the game.
I think it's hard to say how important it is, but if you're looking for a positive, I think that's a positive. He's a guy who we've been saying is close. Mm-hmm. You'd like to see him get one. You'd like to see him get
close again tonight. He had a great pass to Confer that Confer put right into Varley's chest.
Yep. And I think part of the reason why I think it is important one for Newhook is that's a great shot. It's a quality shot.
It went in the net. That's why it's important.
But, I mean, it really is.
That's not the gimme out of a slump goal. Yeah, that's I can do this.
Not like a couple years ago. Do you remember during the COVID year?
Yeah.
When Rantanen gave McKinnon an empty net,
a literal free goal to like get him one. Like, yeah,
he hasn't had one in a while. Just trying to make him feel better. And Nate was like sitting next to him in the locker room, and he was like, "Thanks." You're like, okay. These guys don't give a shit, dude.
But for a guy who we've talked about is lacking confidence a little bit, that should be a confidence builder for him.
Yeah.
Even if the goal is ultimately meaningless in the game.
Yeah. I think it really comes down to, we'll see.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, hey, it could be that's what he needs. If he goes on a little bit of a tear, great.
Yep.
This might be one where the schedule hurts him.
Yeah. He's about to spend 5 days off.
Because they're going to have a week off, and then they play 2 games in a row, and you're just like, all right.
So
he's... Anyone watching the live stream watch along probably heard me just yelling, shoot, anytime he grabbed the puck. I turned into that guy because it's like... He didn't take a shot last night. He didn't take a shot through two periods tonight. And then his first shot tonight was this weird spinning one from the corner that hit the net.
Yeah.
And then he gets a great chance afterwards. Like, get some mojo going. Like, I don't know. We'll see. I hope that it gets him going because he sees... I mean, I hope that the confidence boost of him being the guy that they just threw on the ice with the empty net is also something that helps.
So...
It would have been really easy for that guy to be JT Confer again.
Sure should have been. Anyway, the one question I want to ask here is you're looking at this game. You have 5 days off. You're going to have a bunch of practices in Finland.
Not kind of.
I mean, they have 2 or 3.
Because they don't practice until Tuesday. So they have...
They'll probably take a day off.
They practice Tuesday. I'm pretty sure they practice Thursday.
Yeah, Thursday is the one that's Tampere. open to the public. Anyway, they have a couple days of practice, and then they have a couple games.
Well, so my question is, because I'm looking at this game, and I don't know that there's a lot that you can solve with practice.
Take it down a notch, Chief.
Like, I just don't know. If you can go into a practice and say, all right, work on this thing. And I'm sure there'll be some of that. But it feels like a lot of the collapse here is, hey, Nathan McKinnon, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, just don't shit the bed.
Yeah.
Like
you've got to feel pretty confident with the 3-1 lead when you send your best guys over the boards and you're protecting that lead. And for them to play the way that they did was just, for me, man, it's just unacceptable.
Yep.
Which is one of those things I don't like to say because I hear people be like, it is unacceptable that you did this. And it's like, okay, you say it's unacceptable, but there has to be follow-up to that.
Yeah.
Like, there's got to be something behind that. Otherwise, all you did was make a lot of noise and everybody moved on.
It's fair.
So, I think it's unacceptable that their top guys let them down in such a severe manner.
Yep.
Such a one-to-one link. Not even just one guy in particular, but a one-to-one link between... your top line being out there, and you giving up the lead in the third period. And I don't know, like, because you don't take it into the Columbus game.
No.
It's not like you bench those guys and play those guys right, 10 minutes in the Columbus
game. And
you've
had 5 days off.
Right. Like, I don't know, what? Do they have to sit at the front of the plane? They're not allowed to talk to each other? Like, I don't know that we're not going to see it. But there needs to be something behind the scenes, something that happens, something that gets said there, where they're just like, guys,
we're better than this.
You guys are our best players, especially with the depth issues that we have, especially no Nichushkin, no Landeskog. Like, you have to elevate your level. And those guys were directly responsible for the lead to begin with.
Yep.
But then they're directly responsible for giving it away.
It's the Leon Draisaitl effect. Doesn't matter how many goals you score if you give them all back.
So, I don't know.
Do you separate them?
I don't know. I would probably... Nichushkin's back for the next
game.
Should
be back for Finland, yeah.
And so I think that my favorite thing in the world is if you're not gonna have like a set line to just put pairs together throughout your lineup.
Sure.
And I think that's what I would do is I would go, you know, I would go with MacKinnon next to Lehkonen and probably Rodriguez now.
Given tonight.
And then Nichushkin
Rantanen.
Nichushkin new hook and Rantanen. Yeah. And then Cogliano, Compher, O'Connor. And then the fourth line guys. Is whatever's
whoever,
left over.
Whoever's Maltev, healthy that
Maltev,
night.
Maltev, yeah. McDonald, McDermott, if I don't
Helm
know.
If he's back.
Is Helm like, on the trip?
Right, we don't
like,
even
I don't
know.
Even know, yeah. Man.
Are they gonna bring somebody else? Who knows?
So we're at the 10% of the season mark. The Avs are virtually in the same place they were last year, all the way down to blowing a game to move to a 4-4 record. Now the Avs are 4-4-1 here, so instead of blowing the next game in overtime, they'd have to lose in reg to have the 4-5-1 record this year.
Yeah, they have dropped from second in the division, which they were last night.
Yep.
They are now fourth in the division.
And it's still 3 points, 4 points to the top.
2 points behind.
So still 2 points. Okay, so.
But Winnipeg has 10 points, and Chicago and Colorado both have 9 points. Minnesota, Nashville have 7, and St. Louis lost again is down at 6.
So from a standings perspective,
you're really
there's
not
a whole lot
here.
Yeah. And it's
nine games in. We really shouldn't be talking about the standings.
You're right. But it's worth taking a reality check and going, The Avs aren't blowing out their doors on the season. They're not going full Vancouver Canucks and taking themselves out of the playoffs in October. Yeah. They're fine.
And you are playing the team that is at the bottom of the East.
Yep.
Just got booed at home.
They are 3-6, Columbus is.
Yep.
I don't know if they have any other games. I would imagine not.
I certainly, if you don't at least split in Finland, I think you're going, okay, hang on.
I think the goal in going into Finland is you want to take them both.
It should,
Columbus is not very good.
It should be 4 points. The goal should be 4 points. But if you split, you're not going, oh, God, what's wrong? If you lose both, at that point you're saying, is there a problem here?
Well, at that point you've lost 4 games in a row.
Right, exactly.
And we've talked about don't let one bad day turn into two. Well, they did that.
Now don't let it turn into a bad streak.
Yeah, like, now you're trying, okay, well, stop it at two.
Yep.
Teams lose 2 games all the time. Like, that's a normal thing, but it's the teams that don't allow it to turn into 3-4. Yep. Those are the teams that are the most successful.
Champions don't go on losing streaks.
Yeah, I mean.
At least extended ones. Put it that way.
Is a long flight good after a game like that? I don't
even
know.
Good or bad?
Because,
I mean, they don't fly.
Yeah, they'll fly out tomorrow.
Yeah, they fly out tomorrow. Yeah. So,
but,
you know, they're gonna go back to the hotel room and they're gonna sleep tonight. And then
what is that, like a 9-hour flight, something like that?
Well, I don't know what theirs looks
yeah,
like.
Yeah, they're leaving from New York, so it's probably not that bad.
Yeah, so it's probably maybe like 7.
Is
yeah.
it directly into Helsinki?
I would assume so. Yeah,
somewhere?
I would assume they fly direct.
They gonna stop in London and go to the Broncos game in the morning, like.
That'd be fun, actually. They should do that.
They don't deserve that.
You're,
yeah, that's actually a punishment more than anything.
Well, true.
After that game, they might deserve it.
That's
yeah.
the punishment.
They have to watch the Broncos.
You have to go watch the Broncos in person in London.
Okay. I'm pretty good here. A game you definitely should be frustrated with.
Yeah. You're definitely disappointed. Last night was such a. I didn't care about last
Same.
Night's game at all.
Same.
This one is like there are really big red flags in this red game from this game that you just.
Yep. You can't have it. And if
it's
you,
not good,
and
man.
Look, if they rebound and they don't do that shit again,
yeah,
fine, great, you solve the problem.
They just, because last year, start of the year, it was kind of like this too. Where
it was a lot like this.
And we were like, that's both comforting because, hey, it didn't, like, it doesn't.
You know they can play out of it, yeah.
Anything, really. Like,
yep.
You still have so much time to figure out what your team DNA is going to be this year.
Yep.
Who you're going to be and what you're going to be about and what you deem acceptable and how, you know, how far things get off the track, whatever. But they've got to just dig deep on this, and they, you know, have some of the tough conversations that they had last year. Like, hey, are you serious about this thing?
Is there faith that they can figure it out? Absolutely, but they still have to do it.
Yeah.
When I was watching the first period, and then they kind of picked it up, is like, they don't look like the Avs that we've come to know. They're dumping it in
a lot.
They're not playing with the pace that we're used to, and a lot, obviously, they're missing some important guys, but also
some guys that do that particularly well.
And, you know, I know that he was, you know, reading my mentions, not a favorite of everyone, but Burakovsky was great at getting the puck zone and entries, entering for the sure. zone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think he's a guy that they're kind of missing right now. And they just don't have that skill beyond the top
line. And the easy goal.
Yeah.
You know, the thing with Burakovsky would give you, yeah, he had his hot streaks, his cold streaks, but he could just beat a goalie. You know, an easy goal where you're not having to work so hard for everything all the time. So, yeah, and both, you know, that from Burakovsky, but Kadri too. The version of Kadri that we saw last year, version of Kadri that's shown up to start this year in Calgary, like, he's on fire.
Yeah.
You know, he's playing with determination. He's playing with speed. It's the best version that we've ever seen of him in the NHL, by far.
And look, tonight, they solved a lot of the problems they had coming into this game. They scored 5-on-5 goals. They scored a power play. They scored 4 goals in this hockey game.
Yeah.
They just got their heads kicked in defensively in the third period.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, we didn't really get too into it. We talked about them individually, but the team defense, again,
it was bad.
It was fine yesterday, and it was fine through 2 periods today.
But not in the third.
And then in the third period, it was just so
you have 20 shots awful. In the third period.
Yeah.
Yep.
I knew that the shots on goal weren't a problem.
Yep.
Because it was 10-10, I think, after the first period. And you're like, that's a pretty medium event period.
I think it was 23-23 after the second.
Yeah, and it's like maybe got a little bit high, but you're not thinking that that was going to end where it ended.
Yep.
It had no business ending where it did.
Yep.
None. And
it's just right before that second goal, I think AJ was like, man, Georgiev's really am I going to believe?
Yeah.
And that sucks because the second and third goals weren't really, I mean, maybe you want him to control the second shot a little bit or second goal a little bit better, but I mean, he looked like he was balling out again.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe they do have their goalie that he's adjusting a lot quicker than I thought he was going to adjust.
Well, and he's adjusted so much faster than Grubauer and Kemper did that we're just like,
cool. Ride it.
Look at him go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ended on a high note here. King of the game is going to Evan Rodriguez. The three-point night is certainly the Avs are desperate for some flexibility in their top six right now, and if he can provide a little bit of that, it's going to go a long way.
The misfitting crown gets me.
Too big?
Where it's like, it's like a little, like you can see the helmet sticking out the top of it.
It's going like through the back of his head.
Yeah, exactly. Is there a chance, Yahir, is there a chance you made this really last second because I gave you the wrong king of the game? There's a chance that I led him astray.
There's a chance that I make 2 king of the game.
Yeah.
In under 5 minutes and the crown stopped working on my head. On my
yeah. So. This is really on me. Easy king of the game, honestly. It was him or Georgiev, honestly.
Oh, yeah. There was no other option.
Yeah, the
not the birthday boy. Not after the third period.
Yeah. Hey, but, you know, that's the first king of the game that we've taken away from Rantanen on his birthday.
First career.
Okay. We're going to get out of here. We appreciate all y'all hanging out with us. I know sometimes you just got to blow off the steam, and this was definitely one of those nights for the Avs.
Yeah, last night was a lot more contentious where it was like, calm down, everyone. Yeah. Like, come on. And this is the game you're losing, you're going to blow your stack over? Like, this is the game you do it.
You were one game early.
Yeah, that's all it was. The big mads from last night, you guys were just a day early. That's all it was.
Anyway, we appreciate all y'all hanging out. We are off tomorrow. We'll be back Monday with... Actually, we might not be back Monday because they play Saturday. Yeah. So hang
so
loose on that.
There's a really good chance that we're not back on Monday, that we will be back on Tuesday.
Yeah, but we will be back with five shows next week, even with them being off for so much of it. Mm-hmm. So be sure to tune in for all of that. We probably have some other cool stuff planned for the next couple of weeks on the off side too. So keep an eye out for it. But until then... We'll talk. Hey, it's the stoner guy again.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you
Sick.
Next time.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team. We'll talk about your least favorite team and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.